There's nothing that you're fighting against right now that somebody didn't already fight against. Now, that ought to take away a lot of the shame for those of you who don't feel like you deserve to be in church. Because if what the man said was true, that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, that means that even if you struggle a little bit differently than the person three seats down your row, they need the same grace that you need to be saved. And you don't have to be ashamed about your need for grace. And yet there is this particular way in which when we are tempted, we think we're the only ones. That I am the only one who is experiencing loneliness in this unique way. I am the only one who deals with these thoughts. I am the only one who cannot get over this and just move past it and deal with it. Paul says, no, it's common. You're not really that special. Satan didn't just make up a whole new temptation for you. You're really not that special. It's the same temptations and it's the same grace that was available to me as a teenager when my biggest temptation was AOL Instant Messenger. It's the same grace for Snapchat. It's the same grace. It's the same temptations. The reformers had a term called common grace that they used to talk about how all people experience the grace of God in some measure just by virtue of being humans that were made in his image and according to his likeness. And then there is that special saving grace. But here Paul wants us to know that just like there is a common grace, there is a common temptation. And so you're really not alone. And you're really not that weird. And you're really not that broken. And there really were no parts or pieces missing in your box. That you really do have everything everybody else does that is needed to accomplish what God has purposed for your life. And just like we think that the world has never been worse than it is right now, Paul says this is nothing new. This is the same old crap. Can I say crap in my own pulpit after being a pastor for 13 and a half years, a grown man with gray hair in my beard? I'm sure I can say crap and you wouldn't be offended by that, right? It's the same crap, same old stuff that they were dealing with in Corinth. This church was wild. The church at Corinth, they would come in for communion and get drunk on the communion wine. That's why we don't even put alcohol in the cups when we do communion. I don't trust y'all. It's grape juice. It's pre-fermented. It's Welch's. Some of y'all be wilding in church talking. Anyway, it's the same temptations. It's not like the church people say, oh, well, we need to get back to the church of the New Testament. You mean the ones where Paul had to write them a letter and say you shouldn't sleep with your stepmother? Because that was the church. It's the same old stuff. It's the same temptations. Like there was some pristine, pure, holy time when people didn't struggle. It's a different manifestation, but it's the same temptation. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff. Have to be really careful because we'll start judging people if their temptation has a different flavor than ours. Well, I just don't see how they could. Well, maybe they don't see how you could. Paul wants us to know that this is nothing new. It is the same temptation. In many ways, I've learned that the temptations I'm facing now as I approach the age of 40 are the same temptations I was dealing with at age 14. The reason that I was so honored to preach to our youth is that I was hoping to help them to see that the way that they will deal with temptation today will have so much to do with what they have to face in the future at a later time. It was important for me to get that point across because it's really nothing new. What you struggled with then, you struggle with now. It's many of the same temptations that cycle through our lives. And it's the same need for approval, the same need for validation, the same reach for something to fill our soul. It changes clothes, but it does not change nature. It's the same temptation at the root of it in our hearts. It is our quest to depend on anything but God, to reach for something physical and visible, to make for ourselves golden calves and graven images that we can trust in and say, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt, as we grow weary waiting for the real God to deliver us in our situation. as patience becomes harder and harder for us, as we await the fullness of the presence and the promise of God in our own situations, we devise for ourselves escape routes, a way out. It's hard to be human. It's hard to deal with the fragmented heart that is common to each of us. And so early in life, we begin to manage the pressure to escape the pain. And we all find different ways. Some ways are innocent enough. Some ways are destructive. And most of the ways are somewhere in between. There's always a way of escape. Everybody in here, young and old, Baptist, Pentecostal, atheist, agnostic, we all have a way of escape. And I wonder, what is it that you're trying to escape? And I wonder, what is it that makes you feel trapped, like you can't get out? See, it's one thing to be trapped in a situation. Have you ever been trapped in a situation? I hope this is not one of those right now for you. What was that ballet that you tricked me into going to? Huh? Oh, she took me to Sleeping Beauty, but she didn't tell me that there wouldn't be any speaking parts. I was 10 minutes into that ballet with Holly and Abby, and I was praying. First I was praying for the rapture. And then I was looking at the fire alarm, thinking maybe I could pull that. And then I was praying, God, if you have to kill me, if you have to give me a brain hemorrhage to get me out of this, just come on, have you ever been trapped? It's one thing to be trapped in a situation. It's another thing to feel trapped inside yourself. To feel like there's habits in my heart, ways that I lean and I prop up on things that can't support the weight of my worry, but I find myself doing it over and over again. And so you devise a way of escape. You find a way to not have to feel what you feel. You find a way out. The context of 1 Corinthians 10 gives some real insight to the meaning of verse 13. Because in order for Paul to show the Corinthian church, hey, this is nothing new what you're facing, and God is greater than your situation, and he's greater than your sin, and he's greater than your shame, and he's greater than the thing that has a hold of you that won't let you go. God is greater than that. He takes them all the way back to Egypt. The Exodus story was critical to the heritage and the history of the people of God. It was in Egypt that they escaped from the famine. When the famine hit Canaan, God had Joseph positioned in Egypt. How many know God always has someone in a position to meet the needs of his people? I need y'all to shout, with an election year coming up, God's going to take care of us. God is going to take care of us. And that's true in every area and season of your life. So when they started starving in Canaan, Joseph said, get Dad and bring him to Egypt. God has given me favor in the midst of this famine. So they escape Canaan, where there was a famine, and Jacob, with his 130-year-old self, had to relocate, not to South Florida, but to Egypt, a foreign place where he did not know the Pharaoh, but the Pharaoh knew Joseph. And since the Pharaoh knew Joseph, Jacob and all of the patriarchs and all of their wives and all of their children, not only did they get to move into Egypt, but they got to go to Goshen. Goshen was the place with the Kentucky Fried Quail. Goshen was the place where you can eat off the fat of the land. Goshen was the place of provision for a little while. And for years and years, while others were starving, the house of Jacob was eating good in Egypt. Until one day the Bible says that a Pharaoh or a ruler arose in Egypt that knew not Joseph. When Joseph died and Pharaoh's changed, all of a sudden, the place where they had escaped to became the place where they were enslaved in. Sometimes the place you go to escape will become the place where you are enslaved. Can I break this down? It may be that you are escaping for survival. You escape to a relationship that is really not good for you. And you know that the relationship is not good for you, but you are so lonely. rather than live by yourself because you feel like you're dying inside, you would rather join up with someone who is bringing you down. And even though you know that they're bringing you down, or they are abusive, or they are not walking in the same direction as you, you would rather walk in the wrong direction than walk alone in the right direction. And credit to you for being a survivor, because some of the things that you did in your life, you went to Egypt to survive. You went to Egypt not because it was a sin, it was just a matter of survival. Some of the things that we learn to medicate with, some of the habits that later in life become masters over us, they did not start as masters. They started as medication. And so we took a pill at first just to deal with it so we could deal with everyday life. But then it was two, and then it was three, and then it was a bunch. And now all of a sudden, I find myself enslaved by something that I escaped to. This is not just true of pills. This can be true of sex. You can look for a connection in sex and substitute it for love. It's not that you wanted to be dirty. It's not that you wanted to be promiscuous. It's not that you don't respect yourself. It's just that you wanted to feel something. And the feeling of loneliness can be so great that you would rather feel a dirty connection than a clean sense of confinement that comes from being quarantined in your own mind. But the danger of escape is that Egypt can feed you quail one day and whip you with chains the next day. And the place that you escape to becomes the place that you are enslaved in. Thank you for helping me, Lord. I told the Lord I wanted to preach this message with energy like it was my first time preaching it. And I feel His help today. A chain-breaking kind of anointing that can get deep down in your heart and help you to see. How sometimes the place that we run to can become the place that we're trapped in. Because I just want to escape. I just don't want to feel like this anymore. So now that's why I'm going outside of God to meet a God-given need. That's why I'm doing things that make me feel bad in the morning. I'm doing things that leave a wake of consequences that's going to affect me in a way that has no alignment with the real intention of what God has spoken over my life. But I just got to get out of this. I hope one day that I'll have the courage to do this series called, I already have the name of it, I just don't have the guts to preach it yet. Because I know how church people are, and I can already see the YouTube comments. But y'all pray for me. One day I'm going to preach a whole series called Sins with Benefits. Y'all sound a little too excited about that. Kind of sketchy how much y'all clapped about that. Because we will hear a lot of times about the consequence of sin, but if there were no benefits to it, it wouldn't be so popular. There is a need that Egypt meets. There is a need that is met. You know, there is a longing that is fulfilled. When I go outside of God to meet a God-given need, it works. See, that's the problem. It works. It gets you out for a little while. It works until it doesn't. It works until it gets old. It works until it fries the neural pathways, and now it doesn't work anymore. And now I'm doing it, but it doesn't even work anymore. And now I'm chasing something that doesn't deliver, and I want a way out. So Paul says, now you got to back all the way up to Egypt and look at verse 1. This is in the Bible, y'all. He said, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff. They were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Remember the Red Sea that God brought his people through? Come on. Has God ever brought you out of anything? I don't mean you had a headache and it went away. That was ibuprofen. But I mean something that was deep. It was a pit. It was a depression. It was a darkness. It was a mistake. It was a mess you made, but God brought you out. Shout for 15 seconds. Matter of fact, shout if he didn't just bring you out. Shout if he brought you through. Oh, God, that's good to me. He didn't just bring me out of it. He brought me through it. And since I went through it, I got something from it. I'm stronger, wiser, better, taller. I had to go through the valley of the shadow of death so I could know it's just a shadow. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Now I got a table in the presence of my enemies, but the only way to the table was through the valley. I had to go through the pain. And that's what God did. Now watch, it's a history lesson. Tell somebody, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. What you're going through, God's people have been standing in front of stuff that they didn't think they could make it through for a long time. They came to that Red Sea, Pharaoh behind them, the chariots clacking. These were not basic chariots. These were Lamborghini chariots, faster than them, stronger than them. But somehow, some way, they passed through the sea. God brought them through it. God said, I'm not just going to lift you out of it. I'm going to give you the strength to walk through it. No temptation.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.